Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the main event of the evening. And now, Senor.
You're now listening to
Hot Takes
with
Bertola.
You're now listening to
Hot Takes
with
Bertola and Eric.
Welcome to another edition of Hot Takes. I am Eric Nifong. You can find me on Twitter at @E_Nifong. I'm joined by Nolan Haig. You can find him on Twitter at @NJH09. And you just listened to possibly one of the biggest upsets in recent memory for the UFC. It was a great Saturday night. And then we had quite a big upset yesterday between the Warriors and the Lakers. We'll get to all that tonight. And how's your week been last week?
Oh, man, it was crazy. I don't know about crazy, but it was fine. A lot smoother than that intro. I don't know what happened there. I'll have to go back and fix it because it was not supposed to do what it did. But it's new. It's when it works, it'll be pretty cool. So hopefully that'll be better next time.
Yeah. I mean, it's a work in progress, but it sounds good. Other than that, I mean, we'll get it down. Our own intro here.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get into it and get our old picks out of the way so we can. We got a lot of stuff that we want to get in. So, first up, we had Oklahoma City Thunder against the Clippers, and then they also played the Warriors back-to-back in 2 days, and I was afraid that just with the Warriors looming, they were going to lose one of those games. Well, turns out they lost both of them. kind of blew leads in both games. What's going on there?
Yeah, they especially blew the lead against the Clippers. They're up 17 in the fourth quarter. I think they had a 24-point lead overall at one point. But if you've watched basketball before, all it takes are those runs, and it happens sometimes. Seen it happen to the Clippers, and the Thunder are going through it right now. I think they're 2-7 since the All-Star break now, when they were scorching on their way into the All-Star break. So, been an adjustment period for him. I don't know. They brought in Nazi Muhammad, who hasn't played a game this season, only played 23 very sparingly minutes last season with the Bulls. But I don't know. Are they missing a veteran presence in the locker room? Possibly. That could be why they brought him in. Not really sure what's going on there, but kind of scaring me as a pick to go to the Western Conference Finals against Warriors. And right now, the Clippers are right on the heels to get that third seed, so they'd play the Warriors in the second round. And they really don't want that to happen because I think they'd have a better chance against the Spurs still. But not the way they're playing right now. They need to really step it up and get things going. Good thing is they have 20 more games to get right the ship, but it's coming down quickly, and they really need to start putting it together like they were before. Westbrook and Durant both struggling with turnovers down the stretch, and they can't have that from their top two guys.
Yeah, like you said, their win, I think it was last night over the Bucks, was only their third win since the All-Star break. And yeah, that's not going to do it. especially with the pace the Warriors are on, even if they are losing to the Lakers. But, something's got to get out. And I know it doesn't help, but and I don't know the capacity of it, but I've also people are starting to you assume with the team struggling, but those rumors about Kevin Durant and leaving are only going to get louder the more the team struggles. And that's and you still got a season that can be there's still something you can do. You can still go deep in these playoffs and make a run.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Definitely those rumors are just going to start surfacing the more and more they struggle. And especially if they go out in an early round, the first or second, I think they at least have to make the conference finals. Otherwise, he's going to give a real hard look at leaving. I don't know if it'd be this year, but I could see him signing the one-year deal. He'll get more money the next year and would be a free agent with Russell Westbrook, and they could kind of do whatever they wanted. That would really leave the Thunder in a bind, but they can't really think about that. They just need to get their team back together and play the way they're capable of.
Yeah, and I mean, in today's NBA where can just move on a not necessarily on him, but yeah, guys, you know, they've got their agendas and they talk to other players and make plans and kind of they want to do. I mean, you never know what's going to happen, but yeah, no, there's definitely stuff left to do yet in the season, and the team's plenty good enough to at least beat every other team that isn't the Warriors.
Yeah, I agree. One interesting part is, though, all three of their losses, I guess four of their losses to the Warriors, total does not equal one of the games that the Spurs and the Cavaliers played by them. I don't know what that means, but they play them close, and so know they're capable of being able to compete with those top teams. They're just not getting it done right now.
Yeah. All right, well, I guess moving
kind
on.
Kind of sad when you have these stats like that against the Warriors.
Right.
Yeah, but we didn't lose by this much. Yeah.
Moral victories, I guess.
Yeah, but, something. But, hey.
Yeah. All right.
Bad team.
Next up, we go back to college basketball. That we're going to get back to later, but we did pick the second North Carolina Duke game. This time the Tar Heels were able to get ahead from the very beginning and close it out like maybe they should have the last time they played. They, of course, just dominated the Blue Devils on the inside, out-rebounded them 64-29. Bryce Johnson, again, had a monster game, 18-21. All five starters for North Carolina scored in double figures, and went up the number one seed in the ACC tournament for them. So got to be happy with that. For Duke, Grayson Allen had 29. They just couldn't get it done. Their size kind of came back to bite them in this one. They made a lot of threes, but they can always make a lot of threes, so can't really do too much about that. What do you think?
Yeah, I didn't catch too much of that game, but from what I saw, pretty much what you said summed it up. Tar Heels dominated on the inside, and Duke couldn't handle that, and really was pretty much the demise at the end, because Grayson Allen did have a really good day. He had 29 and shot the ball really well. Maybe would have liked to see a little more from Brandon Ingram, but still freshman, and North Carolina – hopefully this will get them on a roll, because I definitely think they should be one of the final four teams standing at the end of the whole thing.
Yeah. They definitely are going to have a nice little warm-up, tune-up, like, I don't know, these conference tournaments, I mean, we are going to pick them later, or pick who we think is going to come out, but there's a lot of wild cards. And just, I mean, just with the kind of parity in basketball this year, you don't really know what's going to happen and who's going to, I mean, you could possibly have a team that is on the outside looking in right now go on their own little run and in.
Yeah, it's definitely wide open and going to be very interesting to see what happens. I think even if the likes of LSU were somehow able to get in, I think they're going to have to win their conference tournament to get in at this point. But I think they were able to get in. I think they have the player, Ben Simmons, to be able to kind of guide them through a rather open tournament and would be able to make some noise. That's one of those teams that kind of outside looking in, but I think they got on a roll. And Ben Simmons put up great numbers. We've seen it before. One player can kind of carry you through the tournament for a while.
Yeah, it's definitely – that's another thing. It's the names to be watching over these next few weeks are going to be fun to see how far some of these guys – I mean, yeah, whether Ben Simmons can get – will his team into the tournament is going to be something to see. But you've also got Buddy, of course, Oklahoma's in, I'm sure – Denzel Valentine, Michigan State. A lot of these guys are this is the big time now. Big chicks. They're big spotlight. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, most definitely. I'm pretty excited for it. And I know we picked two college games here for our upsets. One of those was mine. It was Virginia and Clemson. Clemson actually played really well, held the lead, but Virginia used the run at the end to pull out the 7-point victory and really dampen Clemson's tournament hopes. They do have four wins over AP top 25, or I guess the AP, I don't know. But might be USA Today, I'm not sure. But Clemson, yeah, they almost pulled out another one, but they weren't able to do it. I think they're going to have to go pretty deep in their tournament here to get in the tournament, so that'll be interesting to see as well from the ACC.
Yeah, we definitely need to start coordinating the upset picks again, because I had Oklahoma State beating Michigan State. That definitely did not happen. So 91-76. I think Denzel Valentine had 27. and Michigan State, you know, won on senior day and had their So
Ohio State, right? Not Oklahoma State.
Ohio State. What did I say?
Oklahoma State. But I.
Oh, weird.
I just wanted to.
That's my fault. I wrote OSU and didn't even totally forgot the wrong thing.
Whatever. But so that pretty much did our picks, except for our last one, which was Conor McGregor and Nate Diaz. Before we get to that, I went 2-3 this week, 0-1 on my upset. You were 1-4. So I'm 21-23. You're 23-21. And we're both 4-4 on upset. So I'm catching back up here slowly.
All right, here we go. Yeah, it's getting close again. I guess, well, what was it, every 20? We got 10 episodes left then. So, halfway there.
Halfway there.
It's anybody's game.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure you almost have as many losses as you did in the first round, so neither one of us are really doing too well so far.
The regression. all right. Okay, well, yeah, let's talk about these fights then. I know Twitter was definitely a buzz about them. Not quite the expected results. I guess we'll start off with Holly Holm and Miesha Tate, just because it was a co-main event, but I guess it happened first chronologically. So that one actually went a while, could have gone the distance. But Miesha Tate eventually overcame Holly Holm and choked her out in the fifth round. What'd you like there?
Yeah, it was a really good fight. The card before this was it was kind of lackluster. There were a couple good fights in there, but nothing what these last two fights brought us on the night. It was definitely worth every penny spent. But basically, Holly Holm had that fight going in to the fifth round. I thought that she was up 3-1 and Misha Tate needed to get the finish. And Misha, I think she was 2 of 9 on her takedown attempts. But those two that she got really put Holm into a lot of danger. In the second round, she almost had the rear naked choke, but Holm was able to fight it off. And fifth round, it didn't go that way. Misha Tate took her right back down, got her back, sunk the choke in. Holly Holm tried to throw her on her head, but it was already locked in. And by that point, Holly Holm never tapped, but she went out, and Misha Tate's your new champion. So, yeah, it was a great fight, and definitely, I've said it before, styles make matchups. I know a lot of people thought that Holly Holm would just run right through her. I did have Holm winning by a fourth-round TKO, but I definitely thought Misha could give her some struggles, and that's what she did. Her striking's better than Ronda Rousey. She doesn't come forward like Rousey did, and she's really well-rounded like she showed and was able to get Holm down, finally get the gold that she's been working for her whole career. So it was definitely a good fight for both. But, yeah, Holm didn't tap there. She said in a post-fight interview that she fought off the first one, so she thought she could fight off this one, and before she knew it, she was out. So just kind of how quickly those things happen.
Yeah, you know when you've got somebody on your back and you try and flip them over as the last attempt, you're getting pretty desperate. And then, just watching her kind of still swing in the air a little bit as she goes out, just brutal. But, yeah, I mean, that's part of the sport. It's not your day sometimes. As
yeah, that
finds out eventually in the octagon.
Yeah, everyone's going to lose. Doesn't matter who you are. A fight can go so differently than what you're expecting. I mean, it only takes one shot, and any man's susceptible to getting knocked out if they're hit right. So, even choked out in this situation, whatever. But, yeah, MMA is crazy because those two fights that night, Misha and Nate Diaz were huge underdogs, and they were able to pull it out.
Yeah, I have one more question before we get to McGregor Diaz. So now that Misha Tate has beat Holly Holm, and that Ronda Rousey is going to fight Holly Holm next, Misha Tate, is it just going to be kind of a circular rock paper scissors thing where Rousey beats Tate, Tate beats Holm, Holm beats Rousey for a while? We're just going to do that.
I don't think so. Kind of think maybe Holm was a one-hit wonder. Not that she's going to just fall into a tailspin, but I think she's going to fight Amanda Nunes, who was on the card before her. She was the first fight on the pay-per-view where she just took apart her opponent, Shevchenko. Until the third round, Shevchenko was able to pour it on Nunes a little bit, but by that time, Nunes had already beat her up. But she did cardio there, and she'll need to work on that if she's going to fight Holm. But I think it's going to be her and Holm fighting, and they'll have the number one contender. And I really think Nunes has the skills to beat her, so that fight should be pretty good. And I don't know. I still think Rousey's one of the best. I think she kind of got a little overconfident and got caught, and I think she would approach a Holm fight a lot different. It'd be really interesting to see if she's able to kind of change some things up and see how far she's come since getting knocked out. So,
but yeah, right. But the assumption would be Rousey beats Tate again, right?
At this point, I mean, I don't think you can really not say that. I mean, she won the first two, didn't choke her out, but submitted her in both of them.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, I don't know. I think Misha's gotten a lot better at this point. I think it's going to depend on how Rousey comes back from getting gruesomely knocked out like she did. that can kind of ruin fighters. So,
let's see. Yeah, no, it's definitely going to be interesting to see her first time back. All right, well, let's get to this next fight, kind of in the same vein of Conor McGregor seemed to be in control. He cut Nate Diaz early above his eye, started bleeding, but never really hurt him. Just seemed to be landing a lot of punches especially in that first round. I think Nate Diaz ended up with a takedown late in that first round. Kind of looked like it was going to go how we assumed, but then Nate Diaz eventually happened late in the second round. So I'll go ahead and let you take over here.
I think the most telling thing of that whole fight was McGregor, the shots he was landing with his left hand. To Diaz's credit, he said that he would start slow and would struggle in the first round, but he'd finish him in the second round, and he did just that. But, like I was saying, that left hand, it lands on the 145ers, and they go out. But Nate Diaz, as we know, is not a 145er. I mean, I think these are both 155ers that were fighting at 170, so I don't think there was any weight advantage. Neither one of them really had to cut any weight. But I definitely think these are two lightweights that were just fighting at 170. And Diaz or McGregor can get those knockouts against the 145er. He's much bigger, has the reach advantage. In this fight, he didn't have the reach advantage. He was shorter. He was a smaller guy. And he wasn't ever able to hurt Diaz with any of his punches. And McGregor was really just swinging for the fences the whole first round, gassed himself out. And in the second round, Diaz used those punches and bunches and just kept landing combinations, eventually rocked Conor with the left hand. And that's when Diaz started talking in the ring or in the octagon at him. And
Can definitely tell when things changed.
basically kept throwing combinations at him, and then McGregor actually shot in for a takedown, and that's when you knew it was over. When striker ever shoots on a grappler for a takedown, it's going to be over pretty quickly after that, more times than not. And, Diaz sliced through his guard like butter, and just locked in that choke, and McGregor tapped pretty quickly. So, I definitely think this opened some holes in Diaz's game, maybe lost some of his aura about him.
McGregor?
Yeah, McGregor. And Diaz came out, and he did exactly what he said he was going to do. And, I feel bad for going against him, but I guess the hype got to me a little bit, but say Diaz was going to submit him. But
you did kind of cheat that way, but it definitely it's a chink in the armor, I guess, if you will. It kind of diminishes the aura, the presence that he's kind of created to this point. But I mean, he's still the champ. I believe, what's it, 145?
Yeah, featherweight, yep.
Right, I doubt this will be his last shot to move up in the weight class. He just, I'm not completely convinced that it wasn't, obviously the fight would have been at 155 if it had all been scheduled and properly and everything and things hadn't happened how they did. But the fact that it ended up being at 170, I'm not so sure. Yeah, obviously, the more they're going to weigh, you would think the advantages would go to Diaz more. But I don't think he's done trying to collect belts across weight classes, McGregor.
I kind of have to disagree with you a little bit on that. I don't think the weight had anything to do with it. I think they're both about the same weight. I think they walk around about 170, and Diaz or McGregor just cuts more weight to go to 145. Diaz doesn't cut as much weight. Don't think he can because he's tall and lanky kind of fighter. I just think that the bigger fighters, I mean, all three of McGregor's losses are by submission to lightweights now. So I definitely think there's a chink in his armor, and that's definitely on the ground. I think he can knock out fighters, of course, but I think if he started fighting lightweights, I think maybe he's a contender, but he's not the dominant guy. This definitely wipes the Dos Anjos fight off the table. He's going to have to go defend his featherweight belt, which I've said all along he should have had to do in the first place. I still don't understand why he got an immediate shot at another belt. I know it's because he makes the money and he draws the big fights, but things like this happen, and now who knows what kind of numbers he can draw anymore. I think he's still going to draw big numbers because the Irish fans, but yeah, I don't know. I think it's going to be interesting to see how it goes in his next fight. But if they put him on UFC 200, he's going to have huge buys because there's going to be huge fights on that card. So I don't know.
It's interesting that you kind of say that about. I mean, it's just interesting that you say about having him fight right away and because of the draw and everything. I mean, you could also say that maybe it was Ronda Rousey was a victim of that in a way too. She fought however many times in a row and then finally lost and then, yeah, decided to take a break. But then there's also the UFC cover, EA Sports cover curse. So that's also apparently real. So, but yeah, no, I mean, it's one of those things that, yeah, I guess you have to balance out because, you know, these are people and they are actually fighting other people and taking their bodies to extreme limits. And you can only do that for, at that high level for so long.
Yeah. With the Rousey and Connor thing, I do think that being too involved in other things when you have a fight coming up can kind of throw you off a little bit. I don't know how much it did for McGregor or Rousey or if that's even true, but they were doing a lot of interviews on shows and things leading up to their fights that they lost, a lot more than they had previously. I don't know if that has a little bit to do with it, but I also think that it was a lot of Nate Diaz. That guy, I mean, he's been hit by some of the biggest and best fighters in the world for 10 years now. He's pretty much grown up in the UFC. And he said it in his post-fight interview that he said, let's see what McGregor's record would be if he would have pretty much grown up in the UFC. He's like, yeah, if I was fighting little no-name dudes, I'd be 20-2 or whatever as well. And so it's kind of interesting to see there. I just think Diaz was kind of overlooked because of his record and things like that and the hype behind McGregor. And Diaz showed that to take him out, you have to go at him. You don't want to take him down, and if you can't land a big strike on him, it's going to be a long night for you. And Diaz proved that once again. So a lot of credit goes to him.
Yeah, no, definitely. One more thing on Nate Diaz that I have was this, it was his ninth win in the Octagon by submission, and that puts him only one behind Royce Gracie for the all-time record. So, yeah, no, he's definitely made a name for himself in the UFC, and, I mean, should go down. It should definitely be remembered. he's been part of a lot of exciting fights.
Yeah, and actually before this fight, Diaz brought in a huge numbers for the UFC. He's done it for years now. Both Diaz brothers do. Just the way they fight, fans really flock to it. And I know I like them, and they talk just like Connor does, but Connor takes it to a whole other level and really attacks personal issues, which I don't agree with in a fight game. I think you're going to attack someone, just attack them about their skill and things like that. But it's a whole nother discussion. And it was a great fight, and it's gonna be fun to see where either guy goes from here.
Yeah, definitely. What's coming up next as far as UFC or just any MMA events?
Well, the next UFC is going to be in 3 weeks. It's Fight Night on one, I believe, or it might be Fox. Can't think of who is on that card off the top of my head, but a week later after that card, it's going to be Jones Cormier 2. And so UFC 197, and that should be a lot of fun. I was actually going to say earlier that I think a lot of things are going to change once John Jones comes back. I think people are going to remember who he is, and there's not going to be any question on who the best pound-for-pound fighter is in the world.
Oh, no. If he's right, if he's where he needs to be, yeah, there's very few people that could could hold the ring with him. But,
Yeah, he's the one guy in MMA who hasn't lost a fight. Says he has a loss on his record, but he did not lose that fight. Yeah, he might be the one guy that never loses, but I think eventually it'll happen. Happens to everyone, so.
All right, well, I guess let's move on to all this crazy NFL news that's been happening over the last, I guess, really only like 8 hours or so.
My Eagles out there getting that chip era.
Getting
out
all
there,
the
kicks.
Literally. Oh, yeah. Who brought you in, Chip Kelly? All right, bye.
Yeah.
You're off to Miami or Tennessee.
That's Sam Bradford.
Except for Sam Bradford. Got to keep him. He is the most important. But, the one that, I guess it didn't necessarily surprise me that it got done, but I guess the team that surprised me and that it got done so quickly was DeMarco Murray, the Titans. What do you think about that?
Last week they actually gave him and his agent permission to go seek a trade, and they've probably been working on this for about a week now or so, and maybe a little less. But, he found someone to take him. The Titans need a running back. It really shocked me. Kind of hoping to see what Doug Peterson could do with DeMarco, because I think his system would have worked a lot better for DeMarco. But, DeMarco wasn't happy, and so they sent him out. Kind of interested to see what they got back. I'm going to say a fifth or sixth round pick. So the Titans got the guy they needed. It was really surprising, and probably see Ryan Matthews go next.
Right, I did see that he was being made available also. I'm really curious as to what this compensation is, because DeMarco Murray didn't want to be there, and the Eagles didn't really necessarily want him there. The same goes for Byron Maxwell and Kiko Alonso. Now they're going to Miami. You just got to wonder how much the Eagles were able to get when clearly they did not want these players. Well, I mean, obviously you could have made do with these players for whatever. I mean, DeMarco Murray seemed like a completely lost cause, I guess. But I mean, you could keep Byron Maxwell. You'd be still ridiculously overpaying him. But it feels like they just wanted all of what Chip Kelly did gone. And I guess it's, they're getting their fresh start. So hopefully it all works out.
Yeah, they came out immediately when the offseason started, re-signed all the guys they wanted, and now they're shipping out the guys they don't. And pretty much all the guys they kept are guys from the Andy Reid era, and the guys are getting rid of from the Chip era. And uh, I I definitely think that has a lot to do with it, because I was reading about the Byron Maxwell, Pete Alonso trade, and Eagles are actually going to take a $3.6 million hit to their cap space by getting rid of Byron Maxwell this year. So
right. I mean, that's the thing with trades. They're not always straight up, at least in terms of money and cap hits. So they're still going to be taking some of these cap hits at least next year, I would think. They're thinking rip all the Band-Aids off as soon as possible so we can heal as soon as possible, which, I mean, yeah, good. Get it all behind as soon as you can.
Yeah, it's going to be fun to see where they go, what they're going to do in the weeks coming up to the NFL draft, and kind of see what picks they got out of this deal. I haven't seen the details. Have they released the details on the Dolphins trade yet, or they probably won't do that until Wednesday?
I think because it's still technically the tampering period and nothing's official yet, that details aren't being released. I think it's just people just leaking that the deals are done.
Yeah,
unless it's like a contract, like Dwayne Allen got his 4-year deal for almost $30 million. Stuff like that. But yeah, I haven't seen anything on details of actual picks and compensation for these players.
Yeah, I didn't think so, but kind of interested to see if they tried to get their second round pick back, or if they're probably late round picks, both of those trades. But
if they're able to get 3 picks and all of them are higher than a 6th, I think, yeah, that'd be pretty successful.
Yeah, I agree, because they'll definitely have a lot of holes to fill still. So,
yeah, and, I mean, if nothing else, the picks maybe allow you to move up some spots and grab some guys you really like.
Yeah, so... Yeah, it's going to be fun. One that I really want to talk about here is Brock.
I can tell you what I would do if I were Brock Osweiler. And I would probably not go back to the Broncos. Broncos lost faith in Brock Osweiler. They went back to their interception machine of a Peyton Manning to, I mean, I obviously it worked out, but I mean, I don't know. I feel like, if people are going to offer, this seems to be that there's something that he's going to get better offers from other teams than the Broncos are offering him right now. And if that's the case, yeah, take it, take all the money you can, because if the Broncos don't think you're that good, or if they think you're okay enough to be decent, don't seem that excited about keeping you around, like, then you might just not be that good, man. I don't know. I never really saw it. I'm not a huge believer in him. I think he should just get as much money as he can and be Matt Cassel or Ryan Fitzpatrick, a guy who people keep giving money to get a shot.
And Brian Hoyer.
So I think if the Texans offer him more money than the Broncos, go to Houston and suck with Bill O'Brien. I don't know.
Yeah, I kind of think that he's going to end up going to Houston, because I agree. They did give up on him, lost faith in him or whatever. Yeah, it worked out for the Broncos, but I'm – Brock kind of has to be thinking, you could have won the Super Bowl with me at the helm. Why give it to the guy who you know could possibly lose it for you? It's going to be, I don't know. I kind of see him going to Houston, but who knows? And I kind of agree. He might not just be that good. He might just be someone who just keeps getting shots, because you could do a lot worse, but you can do a lot better still.
Personally, I'm way more interested in where RG3 goes, just because, I mean, if you're talking about teams that gave up on players. That's exactly what Washington did to him, only to the extreme. And I just think if somebody could just would just let him get in the system and sit for a little while until he's comfortable and is have some coaching to actually help him get better, then I think, yeah, I think you can see a revival of him. But I just don't see Brock Osweiler doing a whole lot.
Yeah, neither. I think that RG3 should be the top guy, free agent quarterback. I wouldn't mind him coming to Philly, and I'm sure you wouldn't mind him going to Kansas City to bind Alex Smith for a couple years. So,
yeah, I'd be totally okay with that. I mean, there's more pressing free agents for Kansas City to attend to, but I would not mind at all. Speaking of Kansas City's free agents, Sean Smith is actually getting a lot of attention early on, of course. I mean, it makes a lot of sense. He's a veteran corner who can play really well, plays really good press, maybe not press coverage, but doesn't play a lot of zone, plays a lot of man defense, able to stick with guys, big body, obviously. I expect because Eric Berry got the franchise tag, that Sean Smith's probably gone. I don't think they're going to be able to work out a long-term deal. I think the reason he signed the deal he did with Kansas City in the first place was so he could be set up where he is now to sign a huge deal, one last huge deal. So that kind of sucks, but.
Yeah, the Eagles should stay away from him, though.
For why? Because of the type of defense they're going to play? Or you don't want to commit that much money to him?
The last two corners they committed a lot of money to are gone after, I mean, they played 2-3 seasons combined, I think, so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of just wanted
Sean Smith's not Josh Norman level or where Richard Sherman was, but, I mean, he can almost take away one half of the field. I mean, as long as the guy he's covering isn't ridiculously fast, he can cover him.
I've heard this before.
But, no, yeah, and I understand. It's a different kind of situation in Philadelphia. We're running out of time, like, really bad. I totally lost track. So, I guess... Who's winning the Big 12 tournament?
I have Iowa State.
All right, I'm picking Texas.
No, you're not.
I am. I'm picking Texas.
All right. Well,
ACC. For the ACC, I'm going to take Virginia.
All right. That was my second choice. I'm going Miami.
All right. Honestly, that was my second choice. Big Ten. I'm gonna go Michigan State.
All right. I'm going Indiana.
All right. SEC. I guess I gotta go Kentucky.
All right. I went Florida.
All right. And I didn't have an upset, so I just picked Pac-12, Arizona.
Oh, I did pick an upset, but we can do the Pac-12. I'll have to go Oregon as well. Arizona.
All right. Got a hot take?
I do. My hot take is that Texas is going to be in the Big 12 championship game, but lose to Iowa State.
Nice. Well, I said that the national champion will not win their conference tournament. So any of those teams that I just listed isn't going to win the national championship. Sorry.
Yeah, I